Acts chapter 3, 17 through 26. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Amen. The Lord will add his blessings to the reading and to the hearing of his precious word. Our subject, the rejection of the Christ, results in the fulfillment of God's plan. The rejection of the Christ results in the fulfillment of God's plan. We continue looking at the result of the healing of the crippled man at the gate beautiful of the temple. According to the message that Peter just preached to them, they have made a terrible mistake. They are told by Peter that they are guilty of rejecting and having put to death God's servant Jesus. He told them how they exchanged the life of the holy and righteous one for a murderer. But that God, in spite of their action, glorified his servant by vindicating him of wrongdoing and raised him from the dead. And now they must face the fact that they cannot ignore the Christ any longer, because the evidence of his resurrection was manifested in the healing of the crippled man. They cannot ignore the reality of the Christ's resurrection. And now, God having glorified the one they have put to death, they must now face the fact of their sins. They must now look squarely into their own hearts and see the error, the wickedness that they had perpetrated on the Prince of Life. The same truth applies to us today. We can hear and see the works of God, the manifestation of God's power and presence, and yet in the midst of it, keep rejecting the evidence that is before us. The point that Peter is now focusing on is that the time for repentance among those who rejected the Savior is now. And the same truth applies to us. We may have heard the word, the message, over and over again. But like those Jews, rejected the Savior. And now the call is, the time for repentance is now. You can ignore the reality and the fact of who Christ is no more. Follow me carefully as we explore a couple of verses today. First, the fulfillment of God's plan is that the Messiah would suffer. The fulfillment of God's plan is that the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer. And let's break that down even smaller. Their rejection of the Christ is labeled ignorance to give them an opportunity to repent. Their rejection of the Christ is labeled ignorance to give them an opportunity to repent. Look at verse 17. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. We are not told the people's reaction to the message that Peter preached to them from verse 11 up to verse 16, pointing out the error and their sins. We know they come running in curiosity because of the healing of the man, impressed by what they saw, and thinking that there is something magical about it. But now that Peter have dispelled that thought completely and have explained to them the reason, the purpose, the power behind the healing of the man, and confronted them with the reality of the Savior, we don't know at this point what their reaction is. Were they startled? Were they guilty? Maybe some were feeling guilt. Maybe some were feeling annoyance. Some probably were agitated that Peter pointed out to them that they had rejected the Prince of Life and handed him over to a heathen, a Roman, to be crucified. What were they feeling now that they have been confronted with the fact of their guilt in the crucifixion, in the putting to death of the Savior, the innocent servant of Jesus, of God, who is Jesus, condemn him and put him to death? What were they feeling? Put yourself in their place for a moment, if you can. You're a Jew. Your Messiah, long expected Messiah, supposedly him, you missed him, you were one of those who put him to death. And now you are confronted, look at what you did. Look at what you did. So whatever they were going through, whatever feeling, whatever experience they were having, Peter would not leave them in the state of guilt. In a mindset of being guilt-ridden and hopeless. But instead, look at what he says to them. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. Your actions in putting to death the Prince of Life was an act of ignorance. Your actions in rejecting God's servant was an act of ignorance. Not only were you, the common people, ignorant of what you did, but your leaders were also ignorant of their actions. For notice, the apostle says, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. The whole nation acted in ignorance. And the apostle wants them to know that every last one of them were guilty of acting ignorantly in putting to death the Lord of glory. Acts 13:27, we read, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. They did not recognize him when he came. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't acknowledge who he was. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, while hanging on the cross, expressed their ignorance, their failure to recognize him when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Luke 23:34. They acted in ignorance. They acted in ignorance. But this ignorance is in light of information. Their ignorance was in light of the information that they had concerning the Messiah. They were informed. And what the text tells us and what we find is that a person can have information but still be ignorant. A person can be informed but still act in ignorance. Listen to what Jesus said while he was with them. In John 5:39-41 portion we read for our scripture. He says to them, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that they by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You have all the information, all that you need to recognize me, but you fail. All the information you need to recognize me, but you fail. You still are behaving ignorantly, in spiritual ignorance. You are still failing to comprehend the truth. But not only was the common people, acting in ignorance, the common people acted in ignorance, but even the learned among them, who supposedly understood the scriptures, they had the prophecy, they had the word that prophesied concerning the coming Messiah, but they miss it. And even the learned men, even the learned among them, because we think of the Apostle Paul, when we read the writings of the Apostle Paul, and we say, this was indeed a great man, intellectual man. Look at his writing. Peter once wrote to the church, says that the Apostle Paul's writing are hard to be understood because he wrote with such sophistication, with such depth, and with such power. And yet, here is the very words of Paul regarding the Christ. He says, I thank God, thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13. Hear what this man who was versed in the theology of his day, in the prophecies of his day, in the law of his day, in the Old Testament of his day, and who understood and who knew just about everything to be quoted regarding the coming Messiah. Yet, with all the information, he missed the Messiah. You can have information, but if you fail to interpret it in the light of what it is saying, you're still ignorant. You're still ignorant. And because the Word of God is interpreted and understood by special revelation and insight, it doesn't matter how much a person knows about the Bible, he still may not understand one thing about it. Some of our great professors, some of our great learned men in Harvard and Princeton, and all these Ivy League university in their theology department don't believe the Bible. Don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They know all the theology from the intellectual perspective, even as the Apostle Paul, before he became Saul, before God met him on the Damascus Road and changed him and filled him with the Spirit. These intellectuals have all the external knowledge, but did not understand, but do not understand, even as Paul did not understand. So, my friend, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. Who is saying this? Peter. Peter is saying this to the group of Jewish men. Jewish men. Men who are priests and Levites and others gather at the temple at the hour of prayer. He's saying to them, all that you have done to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ, is because you fail to understand the scriptures you have. I wonder this morning how much we fail to understand the truth we have. Look around you, my friend. Look around the world. Listen to the radio. Listen to the TV. Listen to what goes on around you. And you will see how men who preach the word fail to understand it. People who sit in the pews day after day, week after week, year after year, fail to understand it. Still acting in spiritual ignorance. Still acting in spiritual ignorance. Because there is not a true comprehension of the divine word of God, which applies to the heart of man. Now, what is the point? What is it that Peter is trying to say? What is it that Peter is trying to say to the people? Here's the point that he's trying to make to them, is that because your action is labeled as ignorance, there is yet time for repentance. Because your actions are being labeled as ignorance, there is still time for repentance. There is still time. If only you will acknowledge your ignorance. If only you will acknowledge your spiritual ignorance. That the way you behaved was based upon your failure to comprehend the truth of God's word. That is the only hope, my friend. That is the only hope, is that one must, in order to correct the error, must acknowledge that he or she acted in ignorance. What is he saying, my friend? What does he mean? It means that they can be forgiven. They can be forgiven of what they did to the Savior, if only they would acknowledge the truth of their behavior. It means that the door of repentance is still open, if only they would acknowledge that they were wrong. It means that they can come to a saving knowledge. They can be restored to God. They can be brought into right relationship with God. If only they will acknowledge their spiritual ignorance. They did a terrible thing. They did a terrible thing. They rejected the Prince of Life. They disown the Holy and Just One. But Peter says, there is yet time for repentance. Mercy is still available. Mercy is still available. And the truth of that applies to each of us sitting here today. We may have heard, listened to the word over and over again, but maybe deep down in our hearts, we are still ignorant. And how do we know we would be ignorant? We know we would be ignorant. We know we are ignorant if we are not living according to the word. For if we are not living according to the word, it means we are rejecting the word. And in rejecting the word, we are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is opportunity today. The truth, my friend, is for us. Its application is for us. If anyone has been rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, but you say, how can any one of us in here today the rejecting God's Messiah? Well, it is simple. We come, we look good on Sunday. We look saved on Sunday. We look right on Sunday. But after we leave here, we put the Bible aside, we put God aside, and we go on and we live the life we please. We listen to what music we want, we turn the TV to whatever program we want, we go where we want, we do what we want, and in essence, we have, in that sense, rejected the gospel, the Savior who died for our sins, just like the Jews have. Now, even as Peter was saying to them, there is yet opportunity. So we say to you, as long as you can hear this message, there is yet opportunity. In other words, you can repent as long as you are listening to the gospel. Or if in walking you may know you are saved, but in terms of how you live as a Christian is denying Christ. As long as you hear me today, grace is still on your side. There is time for repentance. But the sad news is this. Every door of opportunity will close one day. And when that door is closed, there's no more repentance. When that door is closed, then the moment of opportunity is over. And the only thing to look forward to, as the writer to the Hebrews would say, to a fearful expectation of judgment for having denied the Son of God, trampling the grace of God underfoot, not having submitted yourselves to the lordship, to the rulership, and to the ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. I ask you to bow your heads.